crying at Taco Bell. Open up your Bibles, everybody. Woo! Acts chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, look at your Bible app. Look at your neighbor's Bible app, whatever it is. Acts chapter 1. And while you guys are kind of getting there, I'm going to pray. And so if you're there, you can join me in prayer. Or at least join me in your spirit if you're still looking. God, thank you so much for everybody here. Lord, those who came voluntarily, those who came involuntarily, Lord, I know that you have something that you want to give them tonight. You want to download something in their spirit, Lord. You want to change something in their hearts, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this room tonight and that you would do whatever you want to do. We love you. And everyone said amen? Amen. Apps. Apps chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're starting at verse 3. Is everyone there? You good to go? Gah, Kaylee. Come on. Get it. No, he's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Don't call him out like that. Okay, we're Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read this. I'm in NLT if you care, I think. I got it online, so it might be in NIV. It's going to be a surprise. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And I'll say this before we start reading. The last couple of weeks we've been going over, like Galen said, we went over really the death and resurrection of Jesus. And there's probably nothing more important in the Bible to read about. It's all about Jesus. Everything from beginning to end is around this moment in history. And so what I'm focusing on now, because in a way, well, definitely, that moment is over. And so we are living in the after. And so Acts chapter 1 is that moment after Jesus dies, rises from the grave, and here he is with his disciples once again. And so that's where we are in this moment in time. So Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Crazy, powerful, good stuff. Also, Becca, it's time for me to give you my gift. And again, I said it's nothing big, but here you go. Happy birthday. Sorry about it, everybody. I just had that for Becca tonight. That's all I got to say. And Becca, thank you. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for waiting for that. I want to ask you guys, or we're going to focus on a couple things here, strictly about what the disciples were told that they were waiting for. We're going to look at what the disciples were told about what they were going to be waiting for. And what do we know that they were waiting for? They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. So the first thing, if you guys are taking notes, if you want to open your Bible app, or not your Bible app, your notes app, you can. If you've got a journal, go ahead and do it. If not, take some mental notes, even though I know that that'll probably be forgotten. Not unless the Holy Spirit wants you to remember it. Amen. What? I don't know. I'm just saying things at this point. But you know what I mean. Anyways, number one in this, as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, what were the disciples told about what they were waiting for? The first thing is that the Holy Spirit was, in fact, a gift from God. The Holy Spirit was a gift from God. This was promised by God. Who's gotten some cool gifts in their life? Like cool gifts, unique gifts? Anyone gotten something just like no one else maybe has or not a lot of people have? I'll tell you about some of my weird gifts that I've received over the years that I have kept because I like them in a way. I do have two marionette puppets in my closet at my parents' house. Two marionette stringed puppets. And I will never get rid of them. Just, you know. Anyways, I've got two puppets, everybody. Yeah, give it up for the puppets. Yeah, Carter. Maybe I'll bring them in. Who knows? Here they are. I brought them tonight. Who's into the Hunger Games era now? Anyone pick up on that? Watching the Hunger Games movie? Team PETA, anybody? We love PETA up in here. And PETA bread. PETA bread, anybody? No? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I was gifted during the Hunger Games era. I was such a huge fan. I was gifted a poster of PETA, and I definitely had it on my door in my room. Josh Hutcherson, he's up there on my wall. Absolutely. And another one, which is just a thing that you get when you become an adult and you get really excited about it. I got a stand mixer one time. And it's like my best friend that sits in my kitchen all the time. I just love him. I don't know what his name is. We can figure that out later. But anyways, those are my cool gifts that I've received that I absolutely love. I want to kind of throw out a little thought here, a little display. When we think about the disciples and Jesus, like, think about your best friends in the whole world right now. Just pick them out in your mind. If you've got 12, go ahead, and if you only have two, you know, focus on that. So think about your closest friends. Think about the people that influence your life for the better. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's teachers or a youth pastor. I don't know. But anyways, I just want to put you guys into the perspective of what the disciples were experiencing at this moment when Jesus leaves them. Imagine like spending every waking moment for years with just the wisest person on earth. You are experiencing miracles that you've never seen before. You are having the best time. You are going to all these different lands, seeing people saved, seeing people delivered. It's just insane. And they love Jesus. Jesus loves them. They're just the best of pals in the best way. And they find out in this moment, really, that they would be without the physical Jesus probably for the remainder of their days. The disciples would be without Jesus in the physical with them right there. I know that maybe you've had friends move away before if they're in the military, or you've had to move away before, or maybe your family's gone on. Maybe you've even lost a loved one. And you can imagine just that feeling of loss when somebody that you really love to be around is gone. And that's what the disciples were experiencing without the physical presence of Jesus. Have you ever, when you have someone leave, or maybe they leave you, they give you like something to remember them by? You ever like have, it's called a memento? Maybe it's their favorite t-shirt. Maybe it's a necklace. Maybe it's a poster of PETA from the Hunger Games. I don't know what they're going to give you. Maybe it's a marionette puppet for all we know. But the disciples were left without Jesus, and so Jesus wanted to give them something, and it wasn't a memento. It was significantly greater than that. John 14, I'm going to read this to you guys. John 14, 26 says, but the advocate, and this is Jesus talking, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Advocate is what this scripture says. And in other translations, it says comforter. It says friend. It even says in this scripture that he was going to give them peace. And that this would be someone, something that would remind them and teach them of the things that Jesus did while he was here on earth. What's crazy and crazy cool to think about is really that the physical Jesus would be gone, but God's spirit would be here on earth eternally. They would never be alone. They would always have that comfort in the friendship that they had while Jesus was here on earth. That's what he was promising to them. And the Holy Spirit continues to do God's will here on earth now that Jesus is gone, and that continues to this day. The next thing that I really love, or that the disciples knew about the Holy Spirit before Jesus ascended to heaven, is that the Holy Spirit would clothe them with power. This is what they knew of what they were waiting for, the gift that they were waiting for. The Holy Spirit would clothe them with power. Clothing with power, I picture Iron Man. I picture someone without any power at all. Tony Stark doesn't have anything necessarily special other than a lot of money, maybe a big courageous heart. I don't know what you would say. But he puts on a suit and becomes Iron Man, right? Like, he's like a human. He's normal with a bionic, what is it called? I don't even know. The little metal thing? Anyways, what is it? Ah, yes, a heart reactor. Arc reactor. I still don't know what it's. He has a shiny thing in his chest, and then he becomes Iron Man, which is crazy. And maybe you guys, I don't know if you guys have heard of the International Justice League of Super Acquaintances, but that is also something that reminded me of this, of clothing with power. So Cooper, if you could go ahead and play that video that I gave you earlier. For all you homeschoolers, this might be shocking. Guys, if you haven't watched SpongeBob before, obviously they don't look like that all the time, and they're not always the International Justice League of Super Acquaintances. But in this episode of SpongeBob, they go into this lair of Mermaid Man, and they find all these outfits lying around, and they just put the outfits on, and obviously it makes them special. I'm going to read this scripture to you guys. Luke 24:46, it says, "He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And this is pretty much the same thing that happens in Acts. It's just in the book of Luke, but I loved how it said, clothed with power from on high. And it has already said really what Jesus commanded them to do, but what they were supposed to do, they would need power that was greater than the power that they possessed. They needed power that was greater than themselves. And the thing is, for each and every one of you, and just go ahead and point to yourself in this moment, say me. Say me need that power. Each and every one of you guys needs that same power. I've been reading this book by Max Lucado. It's called Help Is Here, and it talks about the Holy Spirit. And it says, your Bible makes more than 100 references to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says more about the Holy Spirit than he does about the church, marriage, finances, and the future. Why the emphasis on him? God does not want, and listen to me when I say this, God does not want a bunch of stressed out, worn out, done in, and washed up children representing him in the world. He wants us to be fresher day by day, hour by hour. How many of you guys ever feel like you don't have enough to give? It doesn't have to be in a church setting. It could just be in any setting. If you ever feel like you're not enough or that you don't have enough to give, that it's hard to get out of bed, whatever the situation is, if you've ever felt that way, I have too. I would say everybody in this room has felt that way at some point in their lives. If not, teach us a lesson. Teach us how to be more like you. I don't know. Maybe we don't feel like we have enough to give. We don't feel powerful enough. And the truth is, we don't have enough to give. And we are not enough. And I'm not saying that you're not worthy or that you don't have purpose. That's not what I'm saying. But we just don't have enough to face what the world brings us day by day without relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't. And that's why we face a lot of the things that we face in moments in our lives, is because we are not pulling from the power that has actually been given to us by God. The Holy Spirit has enough power. The Holy Spirit that was promised to us, that newsflash has been given to us, gives us that power. And that's power to face a day that you don't want to face. That's power to get up out of bed in the morning when you really feel like you can't. And I love the illustration that my dad, Pastor Matt, did this morning where he just laid down and even put us face to face with the fact of when we're lying in bed and we're like, I can't get up right now. I don't want to get up right now. I don't want to get out of my bed. I don't want to face what today has. I don't want to go see that teacher that hates me. I don't want to see my parents who are always fighting. I don't want to just face whatever is going on in my friendships. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to put our feet on the ground and say, I'm ready. I can do this. And not by my own strength, but by the strength that God gives me. If you didn't hear my knees crack when I got down, then they didn't crack. And the cool thing, though we have that power that gives us the power to do the small things in life, to face the things that we don't want to face, that power was actually to be used for one reason. If we are believers in Christ, if we say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that power is actually for one reason. And getting out of bed is step one. You know what I mean? Like, going to school is step two. Like, these are steps that get us to the main purpose of why we have this power. And that's step three of what they knew was going to be coming to them, what they knew was going to be gifted to them. And that was through the Holy Spirit, they would be witnesses of Jesus to all the nations. To preach of what Jesus had done and the miracle of his resurrection. How many of you guys are in science class right now? Any of you guys? Science. How many of you guys have taken a science class? Go ahead and everybody raise your hand because I know okay. I'm pretty sure it's sixth grade, but I could be wrong, of where you first learn about potential and stored energy. Pretty sure that's in that science class. I'm not totally certain. I know, but it was a long, how old was I? That was 15 years ago. I was 11 in sixth grade. I'm about to be in like a month and a half. Anyways, newsflash, it's almost 15 years ago. Oh my gosh, I sound like a... It's my knees. Crack, just kidding. Okay, so stored energy, potential energy. What does that mean? It means that the energy is there, but it's not being used, right? It's like a rock sitting on the top of the hill, ready to go. It's going to fall, but it just hasn't yet. And the energy's there. It's getting ready. It's a skateboard that's sitting there, and it has the potential to be moving. Or like us when we're laying in bed, the potential stored energy that's there. Becca, do you still have those M&Ms that I gave you? Yeah? You don't want to eat them right now? No? You just set them to the side? Yeah, okay, good. So let's look at that more clearly. Becca was given a gift, yeah? Becca was given a gift, and she has it in her possession. There's the potential there for her to start eating those M&Ms, right? Through the whole sermon, she could have been sitting here eating those M&Ms. There's potential to be enjoying some chocolate right now. But they're stored away in her backpack. For me, that tends to happen when I get gift cards for like a birthday present. I forget that I have them, and I store them away. And then one day I come across them a year later, and I find them in a drawer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm rich. $25 to Barnes & Noble. I'm like, heck yeah. So that did happen a couple weeks ago. It's like there's... And I want to relate that even to what we experience with the gift of the Holy Spirit, guys. And I want you guys to hear me when I say this and to really think about this, is that we've been given a gift. If we've believed in Jesus, if we've professed him as Lord and Savior, he's forgiven us of our sins, and we are then saying, you are Lord of my life. You have been gifted the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit's in you. But the question is, are you utilizing the gift that you've been given? Is the Holy Spirit sitting passively inside you, stored up energy, waiting to explode? Or are you walking in the power that he's already gifted you? The craziest thing about that moment in Acts that I really loved to look at was the moment that the two angels appear to the disciples, and they're like, why are you staring up at the sky? Like, that same Jesus that just went up to heaven is going to come back to be with you. Why are you waiting here? And the thing is, guys, sometimes, and I say this to myself more than anybody, we are passive in our faith. We are passive Christians. And not because we want to be, but it's because we lack the understanding and the full realization that we have power inside us to do anything. And so the courage that you're waiting for to come to start doing what you know that God's called you to do, the direction of where you're supposed to go that you've just been waiting to be revealed to you, the right words to say, the energy to do the things that you don't feel like you have the energy to do, we're waiting for something to happen, but it's already happened. We stand looking for God to move. We stand waiting for God to give us power that we already have within us. Unlike the apostles waiting for Jesus to return, we don't have to wait around for the Holy Spirit. Because newsflash, like I said, the Holy Spirit did come. And we're going to get into that more in the next couple of weeks at Youth. But I just wanted to wake you guys up to the fact that the Holy Spirit is already within you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He is already there, and He's there to give you everything that you are currently waiting to receive. If you've been feeling anxious, He's already given you peace. If you're waiting for the power to get up day by day and to do the things that scare you, He's already given you that power. He's already given you the go-ahead. If you're looking for the power to overcome temptations that have just been sitting there and been weighing you down and been directing your life, He has given you the power to overcome them. Those don't have any stands anymore. They don't have any grounds to stand because the Holy Spirit is already within you. And the power is already there. We don't have to do things out of our own strength. That's literally what the scriptures say, is that when we are weak, He is strong. And so the Holy Spirit within you gives you the strength to do everything. Power, authority, peace, comfort, friendship. And the craziest thing is that this is like the final promise of Jesus. Can you imagine like the last words maybe between you and a friend that is moving away? The last words between you and a loved one that does pass? Wouldn't you hold on to those things? Wouldn't you hold on to the memory of those words more than anything? Or if they did give you a gift, they gave you a ring, they gave you a necklace, they gave you a shirt, they gave you something, wouldn't you wear it around? Wouldn't you parade it? Wouldn't you put it out on a display? Whatever it is, you would utilize that gift. And so why aren't we doing that with the Holy Spirit? That was God's final promise to us, and He gifted us that gift. So why would we not use that gift, the final promise, the final words of Jesus here on earth? They hold power, and that power exists within us. So the question that I ask you guys today is, how is your power level? We were not intended to walk this earth alone. We were not intended to carry the burdens that we carry. We are not intended to walk around feeling aimless. How is your power level? If you guys would just close your eyes, and after this we're going to go into a quick time just to sit around and kind of talk about this. But if you guys would close your eyes, we're going to pray. But before that, if any of you guys in the room have just been feeling weighed down, if you guys have been feeling like this message resonated with you in a way of like, I haven't been utilizing this power, I haven't been believing that this power is within me, and I've really been weighed down by the things in this world, the things that are coming up against me in my life, would you raise your hand? Yeah, I definitely see your hands, you guys. Let's just pray over that really, really quick and just bring that to God. Lord, I thank you so much just for your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that even in the next couple of weeks, you'll continue to reveal more and more of yourself, Lord, but that this promised gift that you promised us through your words as Jesus was here on earth, God, you have given that to us. And Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room that does feel bogged down, that does feel weighed down, that does feel done in, Lord, that you would revive them, that you would remind them day after day of the power that's within them, that nothing could at this point hinder them ever again because of the power that is within them, because of your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit on each and every person in this room. And if you're in this room and you would say that you don't actually know if you have this gift within you because you don't think that you've ever really truly accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's what Scripture says, really, is that those who obey him, that this gift is given freely. That those who accept Jesus, those who live their lives for Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is then within them, and they're able to do wondrous things. And if you feel like you want this gift, this is the step to take, is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you're in this room and you would say that you know that your life could look a lot different if you were to turn over your heart and turn over your desires and turn over all the things in your life that you've been holding on to over to the Lord. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart tonight and have this power of the Holy Spirit within you, would you go ahead and raise your hand? Go ahead and raise your hand. I think I saw one. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and just pray out loud, even for that one and for whoever else in the room just didn't even feel courageous enough to raise their hands. In this moment, if you are to accept Jesus into your heart and profess him as Lord of your life, that courage that you've just been seeking to raise your hand will be with you forever because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you guys would just say, Jesus, we love you. Lord, I ask you to be Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, wash me clean, and make me new. God, I welcome the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Absolutely. And we don't have that much time. I meant to cut it a lot shorter, but you know how the Spirit works. Can't quench it. Anyways, I'm wanting us to just break out real fast. I think that. We can probably just do, we'll definitely do middle school and high school girls separately. Guys, you can talk if you want to break up middle school and high school as well. But if you guys would, who do I have with you? I've got high school girls, go with Janelle. Middle school girls, you're with Morgan. And then Thomas and Parker are going to lead the guys. So if you guys would, just get with them. We're going to talk about this.